Hey, peeps, please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the family. All right, so now that that's out of the way, let's get into this.
What is going on, crypto family? So today we got Tyler Adams with us. He is the CEO and founder not only of City of Zion, but also of Moonlight, right?
That's correct.
Very cool, man. So how did City of Zion, you know, come up with its name when you got Neo, you know, for us that love the Matrix, right? So what's the correlation between Neo, City of Zion? Is there any play there, you know, with like Keanu Reeves or Lawrence Fishburne, you know, that kind of stuff? No?
No, and actually we, going back a couple of years, right, we started out, like Neo started out with, as AntShares, right? And they were working on this rebrand into like Neo, right, as a platform. And at the time, there wasn't really an association with the Matrix at all. And I think, you know, around the same time, City of Zion was kind of forming. But at the time, we didn't actually have a name, right? And we found out, oh, their branding is Neo, you know, City of Zion, like that makes sense. And I think Fabio was the one that proposed the name initially, right? So we all liked it and we went with it. And I think as a result of us going with that, it pushed all of the, kind of, it pushed the community into kind of the Matrix theme, right?
So red now pills, like, everybody.
Yeah, so now there's like Trinity, for example, right, and all these other projects that are forming around this, and Morpheus Wallet, which was in the community for a long time. So a lot of these projects have now kind of taken on
just
that
embraced
theme.
It. Yep.
And I can't help but feel that we're somewhat responsible for that, for better or worse.
We're all in the Matrix now. So for people that don't know, what is City of Zion?
So City of Zion, it's really a community of enthusiasts, right? About blockchain enthusiasts, developers, marketers, designers. We've all kind of come together to develop open source software around blockchain.
Blockchain agnostic or blockchain Neo?
Neo specifically.
How is Neo to work with?
They're good. They're good. I think,
what
you know,
you,
if you
what
look,
made you pick Neo over, say, Ethereum?
If you look at the way that they operate with the community, it's very fostering, right? So I think that, you know, City of Zion is very unique in the open source world in that we actually award contributions to our projects with tokens, right? So we actually have a model where people that write open source code actually get awarded Neo for their work, where generally speaking, that's not the case. And actually, I think we're relatively unique in all of open source, even outside of blockchain, right? If people write code for the public good, they get awarded for that. And, you know, without Neo, that would be difficult to do, right? And they've supported this effort. They've also supported a number of other groups as well, right? They're very big on supporting the community, which is one of the reasons that a lot of developers are in this ecosystem,
sure,
right? Because they feel like they get that support. You know, you can go on GitHub, for example, and create an issue and ask a question, and Eric, who's, you know, the father of Neo, he'll respond to you. Like, they're very accessible. And, you know, COZ is the same way. We've tried to be very accessible to the community as well.
Awesome. Man.
Even for non-developers.
So you guys are basically the biggest, you know, development community for Neo. And so with Moonlight, how does that all tie in?
One of the things that we started to realize as we were doing City of Zion is that this concept is something that's actually becoming more and more popular outside of blockchain as well, right? You have these global groups of developers that are working on these projects and they're trying to coordinate them and find each other. And at the same time, and you're in the blockchain space, so I'm sure you're aware, there's a huge trust issue when you meet somebody anonymously online and you try to work with them in a professional way, right?
Especially when they start the conversation with, hey, what's your private key?
Right, right. Yeah, like, who is this person, right? You know, we've had situations where, like, somebody from Binance has contacted us and they have an official email, they have a LinkedIn profile with, like, A-list contacts, they have all of this stuff that makes them look legitimate. And then through this really labor-intensive vetting process, you find out that they're actually a scammer, right? So how can we reduce that barrier to entry where you don't have to spend days and days of time like trying to vet somebody to see whether you know, they can actually do what they say they are. They're just some inept person that's trying to steal your money by saying they can do work. So it's kind of, at least in our first release, it's sort of an identity project, but it's slightly different than like the KYC type projects like Bridge Protocol. This is more of like your reputation, not just what your name is. Instead of what your name is, we're trying to add the like, this person is very good at Python development, for example, right? And being able to prove that.
Cool. So it's like a really good tool for maybe like an employer to an employee, right? So say I need something, there'll be a pool of these people within this ecosystem that I can, you know, maybe say, okay, this guy's great at JavaScript, right? And I can see on the blockchain that he's done all these different jobs for all these different people. And so that way I kind of know, okay, he's not full of crap. He's done all this different work. Then I, what, contact him directly and say, hey, look, I got this job. You want to do it? And then we pay each other in Moonlight tokens, or pay him in Moonlight tokens?
So you can pay in anything.
Okay, great. So Bitcoin?
So we'll be using the Nash API,
okay,
right, to interface on the back end. So in theory, you would pay in one thing, and then the resolver of the task or the work could receive payment in another.
That's excellent.
Yeah. And you can work this offline. If you work it online, though, through the application portal, then that actually gets committed into what we call like the trustless resume, right? So then anybody can go on and they can verify that this person actually did complete this work for this person and the payment was received and transmitted and this was the review that they provided, instead of that being something that's centrally housed.
How do you see this thing like in the next, you know, year? What can people do with it like now and I guess in a year? So who would it really address?
So right now we're working on the beta for our first release, right, which should come out relatively soon. And what that'll actually address is a slightly different problem, but it's kind of this, there's this Carl Sagan quote, you know, if you want to bake an apple pie from scratch, you must first create the universe, right? Like when we start rethinking the way that people work together in a professional way, you can't just like start off of a shaky foundation. We have to go all the way back, right? So what we're starting with is at kind of a resume type of level, right? So our first release will handle like resumes, which kind of similar, but actually very different from the way that LinkedIn would work, right? Where you have like this professional profile. But one of the things we've identified in going through this process and rethinking it is that if you build a resume, you don't put your entire job history from like your very first job, like maybe you were a dog watcher or something, right? Sure. You don't put all of that on there because somebody spends 6 seconds reading a resume when they look for a hire. You don't want to put that on there because it's noise to them, maybe.
Or
right?
If they did a really crappy job at one of those places, they may not want that on the resume either, but with you, it would be there, right?
It depends. You choose. So you may have, though, say you walked dogs when you were like 12 or 13 or whatever, right? You may, if you were applying to a job that was related to like dog training, or I'm using this as just an example, that may be relevant for that job, but it may not be relevant for another job,
Blockchain developer,
or like as an interviewer, right? Like that's not relevant for that job, but it is relevant for another job. So
you have to walk some dogs sometimes.
And right now you can only have one profile. Right now you get that one image that you can present to the world instead of having, you know, people are multifaceted, they're complex. You should have the ability to present yourself how you want to.
Gotcha.
And then we provide the back end to show, you know, on those many profiles that you have, what's actually verified, what we've gone in and been able to prove about the person.
Okay, and so you're gonna start with resumes, kind of like your personal file on the blockchain of sorts, right? So that way people can see who you are and what you do. Where do you see this kind of going over the next, you know, couple years?
Yeah, I just realized I didn't finish your question.
Sorry.
I got lost on a train of thought. Right, so the next, after that, we'll be opening this marketplace up, which we talked to a little bit, right? And that should be available this year as well. And that'll be taking those profiles, right, and then allowing people and businesses to actually do matchmaking or perform matchmaking. You know, I have a job, I want to find somebody that can fulfill the job, and I either have, you know, I have crypto, I have fiat, whatever I want to pay them in. And then you can list your tasks, and then resolvers or people with these profiles, they can come in and they can bid on those, on that work.
Nice.
And then because we log all that information, we can go in and provide the issuers and also the resolvers with a lot of information. One of the big issues that we've also found in this space is there's a lot of trust placed on the companies where the actual individuals that are doing the work aren't in, like, the assumption is that the company is trusted and the individual isn't, right? When that's not always a good assumption, right? There are numerous cases where people fulfill work and then they don't get paid,
right?
Or they fulfill work and then somebody will hold that work over their head and constantly ask them, you know, oh, make this little change, do all this extra work before we pay you. So all of that information also shows up because it's all time-based, right? And they're through our multiple review cycles, that gets kind of resolved, right? Like you may fulfill the work,
right.
They say, yeah, you fulfill the work, and then they take forever to pay you.
Yeah, tweak this, tweak that, yeah.
Yeah, exactly, and then you can go back and review them also, and then it shows, well, this person, you know, caused these issues as a result of this. And because it's all tied to your address, right? It's verified that you are the person you say you are when you go into the system.
Cool. So, I mean, you can take this, you know, light years further down the road, right, where you could have this for business, you could have this for restaurants. It doesn't have to be just for employers and employees and things like that. You can pretty much plug this into anything in the world, right?
Right.
To basically prove trust on the blockchain and whatever two people want to, you know, commence commerce together or whatnot, you could actually show both of them. So it's not just, you know, for employees and employers. It's awesome.
No, it's business contracts, really. That's cool. What we kind of think of it as.
So pretty much anything you want to do, you know, between two people, you could trust on the blockchain.
Yep.
Awesome. So what do you guys use the token for, since you guys can pay in Bitcoin or Ethereum, which is awesome, especially, you know, on Neo, right? So that is very cool. What does the actual token do, you know, within the ecosystem?
This is the common question for utility projects, right? Is what's the actual utility of your
token?
What's
the use case of?
Right. Our token is, I don't know how familiar your viewers are with, like, project management techniques.
98% suck.
All right. That is actually very true.
Maybe 99.
That's why a lot of project PMs that I know, they still just use sticky notes and a whiteboard, right? Unless you can afford customization of your tools, right? So one of the things that generally requires a lot of work on these projects when you're trying to facilitate them is the project management aspects, right? And a lot of, especially if you're a small team, you can't really afford to hire somebody full-time to do it. So a lot of this stuff like backlog grooming, where you have your list of tasks and making sure they're all updated and they're standard and they're easy to find, that's all sort of pushed by the wayside, right? It's not prioritized and it actually causes a lot of problems down the road, right? So in our system, the way that we implement the token is holders of the token get rewarded for doing work on the platform itself in terms of like backlog grooming, right? Helping to improve the system, providing...
So similar to Neo's model.
Right, so providing updates, we call it like community grooming or moderating of the platform, right? And for performing this, it's sort of a claim activity,
right?
So as these tasks are completed in the system, right, there's a fee that's associated with the tasks and using the services, right? So that fee then goes into a pot, and then as people do these grooming tasks, they're awarded a portion of the pot based on their token holdings. So that's kind of the way that the utility system works in the platform.
Cool.
And that's something that, conventionally speaking, a project manager would be responsible for. And, you know, say for what you do here, right? Mm-hmm. Maybe you need some design work. You don't necessarily know like the technical details, what needs to go into a description for this work, because you're not a designer. You just know I need this for design, right? So you may create a task in the platform for a designer and you may describe it. And then somebody can go in and actually propose like an edit to that. That's maybe they're a designer who's been actually verified as a good designer in the platform. So they can go in, they can propose edits to you to improve the task to make it more appealing and more accurate or objective for a designer, easier for them to find, right? If you approve those edits, then it counts as a claim for that individual that groomed the platform.
I was just going to ask you, who actually confirms that the work that was done is good?
Well, it should be the issuer, right? So you own the task.
Gotcha.
You choose whether that's something, you know, you may come in and see it and say, actually, I'm keeping my own thing. And it's you don't pay the person to do it, right? That's the purpose of the utility token.
Right.
So it's no skin off your back if you don't want it or if you use it. There's no incentive for you to just copy paste it and then put it in anyways, because you don't have to pay them for it, right?
Did you guys have an ICO? Did you guys raise money to do Moonlight? All right, so.
Yeah, so we did a token sale.
How'd that go?
It went okay. It was close to the bottom.
Gotcha.
I think we're one of the probably one of the last of like successful token sales during the crypto winter, I guess.
Yeah. Was it this year did it end or last year? Oh, it ended in 19.
Not 19. So it was around August.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. August, September timeframe. It went well. We have a good group of, so the way we broke it up for our token sale, we had a limited number of people who could participate via private sale.
Right.
To maintain our regulatory compliance, right, we had a limited number of pre-sale participants, right? So we were very selective with those people. We had about, if I remember correctly, 500 requests, and we could accept like 50 of them.
Right?
So groups like NGC, for example, or Neo Global Capital participated.
This is like FOMO on steroids.
So they participated. So we had that group, and those are really the people that drive the project forward, right? They're like media influencers or venture capitalists who can provide help from in terms of like advisorship and things like that. And then we had a public sale as well with a limited participation amount.
Cool, man.
And then all the tokens for the pre-sale, and then also all the founders, and actually a lot of the project tokens are also locked, and then they're locked in a way that's actually built into the smart contract.
So you can't just like, you know, take it when you want.
It's not something where I don't have a wallet that has all of our tokens on it, and then when we have to unlock the tokens, I send everybody the tokens.
Sure.
Or I can walk away with them. That's not how it works. Everything has already been written into the contract, so we don't touch anything. There's no invoke that happens. It's all passive. So when a vesting period hits, the tokens just become available.
So for people that want to learn more, you know, about Moonlight and City of Zion, all that kind of cool stuff, where should they go?
So for Moonlight, it's easy. It's just moonlight.io.
That is right? Easy.
For City of Zion, it's cityofzion.io, or you can check out our GitHub, which is cityofzion.github.com.
It's too easy, man. And you'll actually be one of the people, you know, responding to the community too if they're having issues, you know, building on you know, Neo or working with you guys or on Moonlight. So
People can awesome. Go to the Neo. If I read almost every comment on the Neo subreddit, so people can go on the Neo subreddit. They can go on the Discord channel, and people will tag me. They can go on the Telegram for Neo or Moonlight. If people ask for me in the community, the message will get to me.
It's awesome. So, well, it was a pleasure meeting you, Tyler.
Yeah, it was great speaking.
All right, take care.
Yeah, you too. Right.
Hey, peeps, just a friendly reminder, Crypto Beatles shows are never financial advice, recommendations, or trading strategies. The views expressed here are solely that of Robert Beatles and his guests. Robert Beatles is the co-founder of the Monarch Wallet, host of Trading View Sessions, Crypto Beatles on YouTube, and on several entities. Robert's opinions here do not reflect that of those entities. Some information shared here may not actually be factual. These shows are for information and entertainment purposes only. Never invest a single Satoshi or penny in anything without first seeking the counsel and advice of a professional financial advisor. Robert Beatles is not a financial expert or advisor. Investing in anything is super dangerous. You can lose all of your money, so always trade at your own risk. Please help us grow the family. Give us a comment and review on the Apple or Google Play Store. It's super quick and easy. Just scroll down, click the little stars, comment, and just help us grow the fam.
God bless you. Love you. I'll catch you all on the next one.